You're listening to Up to Speed on 102.3 Penguin Radio. I'm your host, DJ Driver, and welcome to the third episode of the show. Today we have a few interesting stories for you. We have, to start off, the new Honda Civic. We're going to talk about the 2022 11th generation model. And later on, we're going to get into the Bronco versus Wrangler debate, some C8 Corvette price changes, and a 2021 Volkswagen electric crossover that's looking pretty interesting and spicing up the market of EVs a little bit more. But again, to start off, we're going to be talking about the Honda Civic, the 2022 11th generation. The 10th generation Honda Civic really had some interesting style cues. They were definitely radical, to say the least, with the taillights and the very strange silver one front grille they had design going on there. But with the new pictures we got earlier the year of the sedan model of the 11th generation, I think they've pulled some of those styling cues a little bit back while keeping some of the ones that kind of stuck. And I think this is one of the best looking Honda Civics we've had in a while, honestly. I kind of liked what the 10th generation was going for, but it wasn't really my style. And just recently we got pictures, or spied pictures, of the 2022 Civic hatchback, which, again, is following pretty much what you'd expect from a hatchback version of the sedan that we saw earlier in the year. I think it does look really nice, however, compared to the last year's hatchback model. What to expect? I mean, there's not much new here. It's a Honda Civic. We know kind of what we're going to get whenever you buy a Honda Civic. 19-inch wheels, 9-inch touchscreen, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, all the things that you're going to want on a vehicle like this, you know, a little family get-around sedan. It's what it's made for. It's done its job for decades and decades, and it's still going to continue to do its job here. What's speculated is it's going to have a 2-liter four-cylinder with more power, a little updated version of the one they had before, and Honda has confirmed that it will have a manual transmission. Not sure if that's going to be in just the normal model, the hatchback. Definitely should be in the SI and the Type R, however. It's expected to come into price, its expected price is going to start probably just under around $24,000. That's usually where we're expecting these Civics to usually start. They haven't really moved from that price range pretty much ever in its entire existence, you know, including inflation and all that. Its competitors, obviously, the Toyota Corolla, Hyundai Elantra, Mazda 3, Volkswagen Jetta. But honestly, I think the Civic, to me, does the job of a family sedan the best out of all of those. Because the Toyota Corolla, to me, has always been just behind the Honda Civic in terms of styling and tech and things like that. I've always much preferred Honda Civics over Toyota Corollas. Hyundai Elantra, I've been able to drive this car. I've been able to see this car a lot. I haven't been able to see a very, very recent model, but 2016-17 Elantras. I think Elantras are a great car. I think they drive, you know, very easily. I think they're very smooth. The problem with them is they're definitely the cheapest option of the five, by far. Their tech is just behind. The panels are plastic. Everything just feels much cheaper than a Corolla. To me, though, out of all of these sedans, the Volkswagen Jetta is still definitely going to be taking my favorite spot out of all five of them. I mean, it has the best interior, out of my personal opinion. It looks the most not ridiculous out of all of them. Its styling is very, you know, modern and just not really in your face. It just gets the job done, and that's what this car's meant to do. It's just meant to get the job done. And starting at $19,000, basically $20,000, but $20,000 compared to where the Civic starting around $24,000, it's pretty hard to go wrong with a Jetta. With the 147 horsepower turbocharged four-cylinder, yeah, it doesn't have the best power out of all of them, but again, it's not really the focus of this car. This car is more of a nicer interior, nicer experience, and lesser driver experience. But if you're buying one of these cars, I don't see why you would care so much about the driver experience, unless you're buying something like a Civic Si or a Type R. But if you're, again, if you're just buying this car to get around town and do the groceries and take kids to school, and that's what these cars are made to do, the Jetta is probably the best option out of all of them. You're going to save money, you're going to get a great interior, and yeah, I mean, there's not much else to say about that. But for the last but, the Golf is still, just buy a Golf. Please just buy a Golf. You don't need a sedan like that. Just buy a hatchback. You'll get more space. It's better to drive. It's nicer. It looks better. It has everything you need, everything the sedan has, and it's just a better car in general. Just buy a Golf or a Ford Focus. You don't need a sedan that does the job of a hatchback. You can buy a manual or automatic Golf for around $24,000. You're going to get an inline Ford that's turbocharged, that's going to feel really zippy around town. It's going to feel great. There's plenty of space in the back, plenty of headroom, and will do everything that one of those sedans could do, Honda Civic, Toyota Corolla, any of those can do just as well, if not better. The only thing you may be downgrading in a little bit is some highway miles per gallon, but that is such a ridiculous trade-off that, I mean, come on. A few miles on the freeway versus improvements in basically every other category. Especially with Golf's 8th gen model coming in of the Golf GTI, I think the styling looks amazing. They finally made the Golf updated enough to make it look like a new futuristic Golf. I feel like they've taken back the last few years and just kind of kept it the same and kept it very safe. This year, I think they've finally done a good job of making it look updated while keeping it, you know, the classic Golf styling. Of course, with the new Mark 8 version of the car, we're going to get another Golf GTI and Golf R. Those are confirmed to come to the U.S. market. But if you don't want a new car, and you don't want to spend $24,000 on a Golf, and you're still looking at that $20,000 because you can't really get the money for something like that new Honda Civic, you're looking more at that Jetta range, I would say forget buying a new car. This is if you don't really care if it's new. If it has to be new, it's a different story. But if you don't care about it being a new car, I still think a 2018 or 2017 and up, honestly, Ford Focus is still going to be the steal of the century for little get around town, do the groceries, drop the kids off at school car, commuter car. I have never seen anyone get a Ford Focus and be like, it doesn't do what I want it to do. A Ford Focus does everything that it's made to do and will do it for years and years. It'll get good gas mileage, plenty of space, cheap, reliable. It's all the things that you want a commuter car to be. And I still think it's very overlooked, and I think a lot of people just buy the Honda Civics and all the things that they're advertised on television. You know, Ford doesn't really advertise the Focus anymore. It's not really one of their priorities because people really overlook it. They don't buy it, so they stop advertising it, and thus the price drops, and now it's a a steal in the market. So that's DJ Mechanic's advice for today. If you need a little commuter to get around car, Ford Focus is still going to be your best option. You're listening to Up to Speed on 102.3 Penguin Radio. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Up to Speed. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic. You're listening to 102.3 Penguin Radio. And for this second segment, we're going to be talking about a car, well, two cars, but one car in particular that I have been excited about for quite some time, the new Ford Bronco and its competitor, the Jeep Wrangler. I wanted to take a look at these two cars in depth, kind of what each company is going for with their current off-road monster of their own, and, you know, give my thoughts on which one I personally think is one that I would be buying out of the two. Ford recently made a video going over how to take off all the body panels and all the accessories of the Bronco when you're off-roading and things like that, something that Jeeps have been very known for. Now we have another car that's looking like a pretty solid competitor, the Bronco. You know, they can take off everything that a Jeep could take off and more, it looks like. So to take off all the things for both of the cars, they both come standard with a toolkit, and it's as easy as just wrenching off a few bolts and taking things off. Simple as, you know, any handheld job, really. Jeeps have been doing it for years. Anyone who wants to go off-roading their Jeep, it knows it's really not that hard to take off the panels. Forget the panels for now. We're going to talk about something a little bit more important. I want to talk about where each of these companies are going with their cars. So, to start, we're going to start with Jeep. What has Jeep been doing with the Wrangler? Well, in the last decade or so, really not much. It hasn't changed looks very much, and Jeep's really kept the same styling that they've always kept to for a while now, even with the 2021 Wrangler, which starts at around $30,000. It's still really similar to what it's always looked like. One of the main differences, however, is the introduction of two all-new powertrains for 2021. With the Rubicon, which is their top of the line, we're going to have a 470 horsepower V8, which sounds very interesting to have back in a Jeep. It's been a while since we've had something that powerful going into one of these Wranglers. The other being a plug-in hybrid 4XE, which, I don't know how reliable that's going to be in a Jeep. We've all know that Jeep has some pretty rough reliability issues. It's kind of something they're known for. They always have pretty rough time when it comes to reliability. Adding a plug-in hybrid's going to spice that up a little bit. The setup is going to have a turbocharged four-cylinder along with the electric motor, and it's going to make a pretty solid 375 horsepower. It's also going to give up to 25 miles of electric-only driving, and it has a claim 0 to 60 of 6 seconds, which for a Jeep Wrangler, I mean, you're not going for top speed, really, but that's a pretty solid time. It's got some power to put in this Wrangler. 33-inch tires, with the Rubicon comes 33-inch tires, and it claims to be able to hit 0 to 60 in 4.5, which is even more impressive. There's also going to be in the Rubicon, it will receive an optional Rock Track 4-wheel system drive and a trail cam exterior camera, as well as an 8.4-inch display. So basically what Jeep has here is a formula that's always worked. The Jeep Wrangler has always been a very solid car. It's been a great off-roader, and Jeep's just kind of done what Porsche's done with the 911 and just continued to build upon that platform. And with this new 2021, we see exactly that. We see some minor upgrades. We see some increases in horsepower. We see some technical advancements. But that's really about it. If you're going to buy a Jeep Wrangler, you know what you're going to be getting at this point. When it comes to the Bronco, however, we have, you know, a new formula that gets thrown onto the table. We've already seen most of what the Bronco, or the standard Bronco, has to offer. So I wanted to talk about something that's going to be coming in the near future, since we get to talk about Jeep's Rubicon, which is their top-of-the-line Wrangler. I want to talk about the 2022 Ford Bronco Raptor. Although we don't have as many details that we do with the Rubicon, we definitely do have some decent details on what the Bronco Raptor is going to be like. Currently, with the Black Diamond and Badlands models of the Bronco, we have more of a set of models that are geared towards traditional rock crawling and slow, really rough terrain off-roading. That is not what we're expecting the Bronco to be like at all. We're expecting the Bronco to resemble something more of a Baja truck. We're expecting more of a Baja racing kit straight out of the factory, as long as most likely the twin turbocharged 2.7-liter EcoBoost V6, which, although, yeah, it's not a V8 like the Rubicon, I still think that Ford's turbocharged V6 is a really, really great engine. I mean, it's been proven in the Ford F-150. Moving from the V8s to a EcoBoost V6 was a very bold move by Ford, but it's been a few years since they've made that decision, and I think that it's only gone well for them, and these engines have been proven to be reliable in situations up to 100, 200,000 miles, which is exactly what they were intended to do. To me, although it's expected that they will be using the 2.7-liter V6 EcoBoost engine, I still think that because it's geared towards speed and Baja trucking and just much more high-pace off-roading, and that compared with the fact that Jeep teased the V8 4x4 Wrangler the day the Bronco was released, I think Ford may do something a little bit more towards its roots of the early 2000s. And I think they might go and put the 5.0-liter V8 under the Bronco Raptor. I think it wouldn't be out of the question that they do this, especially with them, you know, releasing all the new Mustang models and using this engine so much more, especially the one in the Bullet Mustang. I think that they have plenty of V8s that they could very easily throw under the Raptor's hood, and with Jeep doing the exact same thing, it's not like Ford would really get any backlash for doing this, and it would allow them to have a much more powerful engine under the hood. Now, when it comes to reliability, that's a different story. I'm not sure if it would be able to have the same levels of reliability that the V6 would have. We know that Ford's V8s have been pretty solid throughout the years, but have had a little bit more issues than the modern engines, but that's obviously to be expected. But we do have a modern V8 and not a V8 from the past, so I genuinely think they could pull it off. I think a V8 Bronco Raptor would definitely be enough to get people more interested than a 4x4 V8 Rubicon. It's just something that I'm very excited for. I'm excited to see which direction Ford's going to be taking this. If I had to pick out of the two right now, I'm leaning towards the V8 Rubicon just because, again, it's Jeep, it's been tested, it's been proven. It's going to be a solid car no matter what. With Ford, it's a little bit less proven. It's a little bit shaky. We don't know yet. We don't even have the full Bronco Raptor released. So although I love the Bronco and I can't wait to see what it's capable of until it's proven, I'm still going to have to stick with Jeep with this one for now. But again, as soon as that Raptor comes out, I'm very confident that I'm going to be switching to the Bronco. You're listening to episode 3 of Up to Speed on 102.3 Penguin Radio. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Up to Speed. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic. You're listening to 102.3 Penguin Radio. And for this third segment, we're going to talk about a car that upset a lot of people. And by a lot of people, I mean most of America, I'd say, was a little bit upset at this vehicle. I myself, personally, really enjoyed this car, but a lot of people didn't. Since the 1960s, the Chevrolet Corvette has stood as America's greatest sports car, our greatest sports invention, basically. And since the beginning of its creation, it has been a front-engine, fiberglass, lightweight, basically just spin the wheels and not actually do that well around a track vehicle. The C7 kind of changed that with their ZR1, Z06, both of those being, I mean, incredible cars. They were great track cars, great front-engine sports cars, really pushed what we thought that front-engine sports cars could do. But regardless of that, last year, Corvette has decided to do what the original creator of the Corvette was intending to do in the first place and move the engine from the front to behind the driver's seat in a mid-engine position. This, for some reason, outraged muscle car purists for some reason, even though the Corvette never really was a muscle car. It was just because it was made in America, because it was front engine, it had to stick to the standards of the Mustang, the Camaro, and the Challenger. What people didn't realize is that the Corvette never was another muscle car. A Corvette was a sports car, and now it is moving and progressing along with other sports cars. The 2020 Corvette, I think, is incredible. The styling is amazing. The performance is unbelievable. And for the price that you can get it at, it is probably one of the biggest bargain deals that we have ever seen in the sports car world. So it does kind of upset me that this outlash was seen on a car that was so great. It was just backlashed at for not being a muscle car when it never wanted to be a muscle car. The original creator of the Corvette wanted it to be a mid-engine sports car. It wanted to stand as America's one and only answer to Ferrari, to Lamborghini, to such, you know, titans of Italian and European sports cars. It was supposed to be America's, hey, we're in the door, we can do this too, kind of car. And I think the C8 did exactly that. It crushes Ferrari's new models, and it crushes Huracans as well. Maybe not Performantes, obviously. Performantes are, well, we don't talk about those. But it doesn't even matter if we talk about those, because a normal Huracan or a normal, you know, Model N Ferrari nowadays is going to cost you $200,000 to $300,000. The Chevrolet Corvette, even with the price hike that it just took recently, is only going to cost you $70,000 straight up. $70,000 for a car that is just as capable, if not more capable, than a brand new Lamborghini or Ferrari. And it is an American car. I think that people need to recognize this. I think that people need to appreciate this and respect what the Corvette, the C8 Corvette did. Because yes, the C7 Corvette was amazing and it did a great job, but it didn't push the future like the C8 Corvette did. Recently, the Z06, the ZR1, and the hybrid Zora powertrains have been leaked for the C8 Corvette. This is going to be their highest performance models for 2021, which most people probably won't be excited about, but I definitely will be because I think this car is incredible. We knew that they were working on a 5.5 liter V8 that was going to come in the Z06 C8 and the ZR1. And really, we don't know that much. We know that it could be anywhere from around 500 to 1,000 horsepower with turbochargers and electric motor as well, because they are planning on releasing a hybrid version of this, a 5.5 liter hybrid V8. Yeah, that sounds like it could definitely be making somewhere in the close to 1,000 horsepower range if done correctly, which would be extremely exciting, seeing a near 1,000 horsepower stock Corvette on sale for probably what would be a little bit over $100,000. I mean, it would blow any rivals, European rivals, out of the water. The only thing they would have on this Corvette is luxury and a brand name. But just like Ferrari, the Z06 is going to be revving to around 8,500 to 9,000 RPM with that 5.5 liter V8 that we are expecting. We're expecting the non-hybrid to produce around 650 horsepower, 600 pound-feet of torque, which would mean it's around 118 horsepower per liter engine, which is a pretty good engine. And by pretty good engine, I mean it is better than the 20% better, in fact, than the Ford Mustang Shelby GT350's 5.2 liter one, which only has an output of around 101 horsepower per liter. That's a 17 horsepower gain on the old engine. And we're expecting that one to start around, not even above $100,000, $85,000. That sounds incredible. What else is coming with this leak is a 2023 model we're expecting, the Grand Sport. We're expecting a naturally aspirated 6.2 liter V8 for the 2020 Stingray, or what is found in the 2020 Stingray, the 6.2 liter V8 that it has now. We're expecting that to come in the Grand Sport, as well as that to be paired with the Zora, which means it would be hybrid. And the Grand Sport would be coming around 2023, and it would only be making around 600 horsepower. It would be a lesser model than the Z06. And then in 2024, we can expect the ZR1, which has a very similar output, around, but with a twin turbocharged engine that will put around 850 horsepower, which will be pretty unbelievable. But on top of that, 2025, when we finally get the Zora, which is the 5.5 liter V8 in a conjunction with the electric motor, we're looking at somewhere close to producing 1,000 horsepower, 975 pound-feet of torque stock with an all-wheel drive train. All I'm going to say is when 2025 comes around, we're going to have... I mean, if those numbers are correct, if those leaks are correct, The 2025 Zora Corvette is going to be an absolute monster. I would save my money. I would wait for that, especially with these leaks coming out. I would absolutely wait for that. Unless you're not wanting to spend around $100,000, you're looking to get a cheaper end Corvette, you're not really looking for all that expense and that hybrid technology, don't wait. But if you want the best of the best of that C8 Corvette, wait till 2025 for that Zora, because that is going to be a car that revolutionizes a lot of things if those numbers are correct. You're listening to episode 3 of Up to Speed. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to episode 3 of Up to Speed. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic, only on 102.3 Penguin Radio. For this last segment, we have two interesting developments from two interesting companies that we've talked quite a lot about on this show in the past few episodes. First one is Volkswagen. We have a very interesting development on Volkswagen, which is paired with a development from Tesla, which we talked about last episode with the Tesla Model Y being removed from the website. Car and Driver magazine did a test of the 2021 Volkswagen ID.4, which is Volkswagen's new electric crossover, and it achieved 190 miles of range on their 75 mile an hour highway range test. This is an interesting development simply because it bested the Tesla Model Y, which Tesla is obviously known for their EVs. It's the only thing they produce. You'd expect the range on that car to be better. But Tesla, most likely Elon, had a pretty big involvement in it anyways. But yeah, they removed the Tesla Model Y last week off the website. They said it was because it didn't meet the range standards, and now we can very clearly see that with the Volkswagen ID.4, their first edition crossover EV, hitting 190 miles of range on the highway, and an EPA combined range estimate of 250 miles, which is higher than the Tesla Model Y's. It has an estimated price of around $45,000, which is definitely more than the Model Y, not by too much, but you are getting all the luxuries of a Volkswagen car and not the minimalist interior of the Tesla with its more cheap leathers and things like that. I personally like Tesla interiors, however, I can understand why people wouldn't, because they are very minimalist. They are very, not cheap, but not very intricate either. Everything in there is very like sleek, very reproducible materials. It's not very incredible leather or anything like that. With a Volkswagen, you're getting much more character to the car, I'd say, a better interior, a better overall servicing process as well. That's something also to think about. So this new Volkswagen is looking pretty impressive so far. What does Tesla have to do about this? Well, what we know so far is that they have removed the Model Y because it didn't meet their standards. But with future developments that we have been seeing recently, we're expecting a Tesla Model 2, that's right, a hatchback that is going to be priced at $25,000. You heard that correctly. A Tesla fully electric car that is going to be priced at a starting base price of $25,000. This is something that we have waited on for years and years and years. A truly affordable Tesla electric car. Tesla's whole mission statement for their company is to advance the electric and sustainable energy transportation for the world. This is a definite major step in it, if this is correct. They plan on selling it by 2023, and it's going to be produced in China and exported globally. I think they just finished building their factory over in China. So we have not gotten any true announcements from Tesla. We haven't even really gotten an exact look at the car. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like. We're assuming it's just going to look like a Model 3 that is essentially a hatchback. You know, it's kind of how the Honda Civic is, like we talked earlier. A sedan, and then just, they're just going to convert the back of it to be a hatchback. If this goes to plan, and Tesla is going to make this, Elon Musk reconfirmed that they are going to make it, but if it goes to plan and they don't cancel on it and they continue it going, the Model 2 is going to be a very, very big deal. The only challengers or competitors for it are the Nissan Leaf and the Chevrolet Bolt. And if you want an electric car, you're going to, it's a no-brainer to pick a Tesla vehicle over a Nissan Leaf or a Chevrolet Bolt. So, although Volkswagen is doing some very big things in the $45,000 range, Tesla, again, is one step ahead, looking at an even cheaper alternative vehicle, which I think is a very smart move for Tesla. This is kind of fixing the thoughts that I had about them previously, where I said they needed to stop making things like the Cybertruck and the Roadster and stop promising these vehicles that we don't know if they're actually going to launch or not, and produce things that are more realistic and things that'll help the company out. A $25,000 car is going to skyrocket sales for Tesla, even higher than they've already been. I think after Tesla does this and this model drops, I think this is the car that could possibly be the turning point in the automotive industry. We saw earlier that Porsche thinks that biofuels or something of the sorts can be as clean as EV cars, and we can keep our engines instead of moving to full electric vehicles. I still think that would be an awesome alternative for those cars that can produce that expensive technology. However, I think that Tesla really has the future in their hands right now. If they make this, then most people are going to be switching because it's just cheaper to have an electric car these days, to not pay that those crazy high gas prices that just keep on climbing. And if that forces people to buy electric cars, they're going to move to Tesla. There's no other competition down there at $25,000. It's more companies are just going to have to start making those cars, and they're going to have to start making them for that price. And the lower Tesla goes, the lower all these companies have to follow. And I think it's incredibly promising. I think this is the most promising thing for the automotive industry that we've seen in a very long time. Because this could be the flipping point where gas cars become the alternative to electric vehicles. And that's crazy to say, because years ago we were just getting on to this electric wave, and we were just starting to see what the power of electric cars are. And now here we are with electric supercars, electric crossovers, electric SUVs, electric pickup trucks, and now a cheap $25,000 electric everyday car. And it just keeps going faster and faster and faster. I mean, the Cybertruck seems like it was just announced maybe a few months ago. It's been over a year. Same thing with the Roadster as well. And I think that it's only going to get progressively faster and faster from here on. It's finally gotten to a point where I might be switching my advice on buying an electric vehicle. Before it was, I've always kind of said wait. Wait on it for a while unless you want to buy a... To me, the Model X right now is the only one that seems... The Model X and the Model S are the only two that really seem worth it to me. The Model 3 seems like a car that can still be very much improved on. But to me, the Model S and the Model X, other than range and battery capacity, are pretty much at the peak of what they can do. The X is a brilliant SUV. It's got great range. It's got super cool doors. It's got great features. It's the same thing with the S. It's a great luxury car. It's a great get-around sedan. It's got good range. They're incredibly fast. They're fun. But now that we're starting to get into an area of, you know, reasonably priced electric vehicles and things that actually do make sense, it's starting to become more of a 50-50, honestly, for me, on whether you should be buying an electric car yet or not. For me, personally, I would still... I'm going to stick to my advice and say if you want an electric car, buy an S or an X. Nothing really else seems to make the cut yet. We don't know enough about the Model 2. The Model 3 can still be improved on, but I'd say be ready to be looking at electric vehicles in 3 to 4 years, I'd say. 3 to 4 years, that's when the technology is going to hit its peak. That's when things are going to, I think, balance out and become a standard. There's going to be a standard of electric vehicle that's going to cap for a little bit in a few years. But right now, the market is still rapidly expanding. We still don't know all our options, so I would say hold off. This has been episode 3 of Up to Speed. I'm your host, DJ Driver, only on 102.3 Penguin Radio. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next week.